Hello everyone, you are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we begin our art article, Ireland's House of Waterford, and I have two panelists in the studio with me. Welcome, panelists. First, Hazel, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks. I hear we're going on a wonderful tour.
We are, and Yay. It sounds like you're excited.
Oh yeah, I love tours.
All right, well, have you been to Ireland before?
No, I have not.
All right, so this is it's from a distance. We're reading about it, but maybe one day you could actually go there.
Yeah, that would be great.
I would love to go there as well. And we also have Stephanie here on the program with us. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And have you been to Europe before?
I've actually been to Ireland.
Okay.
I've been to Cork, to be exact.
Okay, but you have not visited the House of Waterford,
no,
right?
No, I have not.
Okay, so listeners, this is new to all of us. And so we're learning alongside of you, and there are lots of good words in this article. And actually, you know, there's a lot to talk about because we're talking about crystal making, and there's a lot involved. Actually, if you go online, there's a lot you can watch online there at the website at waterfordvisitorcenter.com. And so there's really a lot involved when it comes to crystal making. Now, when we're talking about crystal, you may be wondering what that is exactly. So it's actually a transparent glass. It's actually very high quality, and they are made into delicate patterns. Okay, so they cut it and make it, and you may see that in your house. Maybe you had some growing up in your mom's house.
That's right. Mom always said, be careful, don't touch that. It is very beautiful.
Right. But when you see it in your house, you may not think of how it's made, right?
That's right.
You just see it, or maybe you have a car and you use it. You don't think about how it's all put together necessarily, right, Stephanie?
Yeah.
But it's good to look into the process of things, and you can learn a lot through that. So that's what we're going to do today. Well, what does our deck say, Hazel?
Meet the artisans who make crystal fit for a queen.
All right, Hazel, what does that word artisan mean?
Well, it's just someone that has very special skills, someone who is artistic and makes things.
Okay, all right, so that, of course, it applies to crystal making, and we're going to learn much more about that. And so it says it's fit for a queen, though. What does that mean exactly, Stephanie?
Well, it's just so beautiful that, you know, you usually see a queen have something like that.
Okay, all right. And so that's a phrase you might hear sometime. Sometimes, actually, you might hear it as a fit for a king as well. Mm. That might be the more popular one, right? And we'll find out later why they used this particular term. All right, well, we are on page 44. This is the last article for the month of October. It's October 30th. And right now we'll have our first reading for today.
Ireland's House of Waterford. Meet the artisans who make crystal fit for a queen. A tour of Ireland's House of Waterford crystal is a dazzling treat for the eye. No surprise there. The surprise came when our adept guide, walking us through 230 years of masterful crystal making, offered a simple fact in passing. No seconds. I'm still marveling at the concept. We're so accustomed to recommended warranties, upgrades, scratch and dent, second hand, good as new, the next best thing. Nobody expects perfect anymore. Waterford demands nothing less. A tiny error at any moment in the creation of something beautiful to hold or behold, and the crystal is smashed, the glass melted in a fire again. The multifaceted process begins anew.
Okay, so we are taking a tour of Ireland's House of Waterford, and this is in Ireland. You can see a map there on page 45, and you see Waterford there is in the southern part of Ireland, and you see Dublin there is, of course, further to the north. And we are taking a tour, and I noticed online that, Hazel, you can also take a virtual tour.
That's right. They have photos of people making different things, and so you can take a virtual tour. I didn't take the whole tour yet, but it does look very interesting.
But, of course, it's better to take that tour in person. And what happens when you're there? How do they refer to it here? They call it a dazzling treat, right, Stephanie? What does that word dazzling mean?
Dazzling means it's just so amazing. You just, so much to see.
Okay, all right. And then the word treat just means that something is very special. Mm-hmm. We oftentimes will use that word for food, but here they're talking about just a special occasion. And it's a dazzling treat for the eye. And why is that so, Hazel?
Well, everything is so beautiful, so sparkling and wonderful.
That's right. And no surprise there. The surprise came when our adept guide, walking us through 230 years of masterful crystal making, offered a simple fact in passing. So they're saying here, it wasn't a surprise that everything was beautiful because we're talking about crystal.
And crystal is dazzling and it's sparkling, like I said, and it's a beautiful thing to behold. And so it's no surprise there. I kind of like that short sentence. No surprise there. We expect that from a crystal factory. You would expect it to be amazing and dazzling.
Right. Well, they do talk about the surprise involved an adept guide. What does that word adept mean, Stephanie?
That means someone who has natural ability to do something, so they're very good at it.
Right. They're very skilled in their trade. And we see here that the surprise was that there are no seconds. Now, when I see that sentence, I think of food. You know, you say, I'm going for seconds, meaning maybe there's a buffet and you're going up for the second time to get more food. But that's not what they're talking about, is it, Hazel?
No, seconds can also mean that that something is not 100% perfect. It's not the best quality. So sometimes stores offer seconds at a discounted price. So you can get something, there's a flaw in it, but the price is better.
That's right, and some people love that. They look for things like that because of the price. It's much cheaper, and they don't mind that there's a small defect in the product, but not here. They demand perfection here at the House of Waterford. And as we continue on, it says, I'm still marveling at the concept. Now, when we marvel at something, what are we doing, Stephanie?
You're just amazed.
Okay.
Really. Surprised, like how... Wow.
Right. We hear similar terms here. Of course, when in writing, when we're talking about one thing, you don't want to use the same words over and over, so they use synonyms. And so here we see the word marvel, again, meaning that you're amazed with something or surprised at the concept or the idea. And what are they accustomed to? Or what are we usually accustomed to?
Well, we're accustomed to recommended warranties, upgrades, scratch and dent, all secondhand, good as new, things that are not 100%. So these terms refer to something that might have a scratch or a dent. Maybe someone owned it before, it's secondhand. If something says good as new, it's not new, but maybe it's almost as good as new. So we're used to all those terms that mean a lower price.
Okay, and if you're accustomed to something, that just means you're used to something, and you deal with that a lot. And we do. We see this online a lot. If you buy something online, a lot of times maybe someone has used it for a while, they put it up online for sale, and that would be secondhand. And we're used to that, but here they don't allow that. And the next sentence says, nobody expects perfect anymore. And that's an interesting thought, that nobody expects perfect anymore, Stephanie. Why does the writer assume that here?
Well, it's because when we buy things, we always, as we talk about warranties, we always expect it will break at some point, and then you have to return it and get a new one.
So we don't expect high quality as much as maybe in the past, right, Hazel?
That's right.
you know, I've heard my parents or maybe grandparents say, oh, they just don't make this item like they used to, or whatever it is. They think that in the past it was of higher quality, but now things are more cheaply made, and I think that's kind of what they're referring to.
Right. They don't make them like they used to. You'll hear that often. At least I do at my house.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we see here at Waterford that they demand nothing less. And we're talking about perfection. And when we use this term, nothing less, in this way, what is the meaning, Hazel?
Nothing less than perfection.
Right.
So it's been talking about perfection. And so this company demands perfection. And it talks about, what if they do make a mistake, a tiny error, at any moment in the creation of something beautiful, to hold or be told, and it's smashed.
Mm. Wow.
You know, that's amazing, because no wonder the person is marveling at that, because it could be very, very beautiful, just have one tiny mistake, and then they smash the whole thing.
And yeah. I think that would be frustrating if you're working there. Maybe you're used to it, but to see those imperfections, and then you're like, oh, I have to start over, or whatever. And so, but they know that they're producing something of high quality, so it has to be that way.
I did see that once before. I took a tour of a pretty famous guitar company.
Oh.
And they go to all this trouble to make a perfect guitar, mm-hmm. and then they play it before it leaves the factory. And if it doesn't sound exactly right, they smash it.
Oh, wow.
They
really?
Won't sell it or give it away. They smash it completely.
Well, that would be fun, I think.
Yeah.
smash a guitar.
Well, smashing a crystal vase might be fun, too.
Yeah. All right. If you're stressed out, you know, that could be a stress
reliever. They don't want the company to get a bad reputation. Mm-hmm. Someone might see a beautiful vase or listen to a guitar and think, oh, that's not exactly perfect. And then it gives the company a bad name. They don't know the company realized it was a mistake and sold it cheaper. So that's why they want to keep a good reputation.
They have very high standards. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the guitar is expensive, and I'm sure the crystal here is expensive. And so mm-hmm. people expect high quality if they're paying that kind of price. If it's fairly cheap, they can accept maybe less than perfect.
Yeah.
But here they're really expecting perfection. Well, so that's what happens. That's our introduction here. If there is a defect, they smash it, and the glass is melted in the fire again.
Well, what I think is also amazing with this part is that they smash it, melt it again, so they reuse it. They mm-hmm. don't just throw it away like some people do, right?
Kind of like recycling
a
little bit. I like that phrase, it's beautiful to hold or to behold. So you can hold it and it's beautiful, it looks good, it's fun to hold in your hand, or to behold means to just look at it without touching, mm-hmm. perhaps.
That's right. That's a good point. And here, the last sentence of this paragraph, it says the multifaceted process begins anew. And that word multifaceted is good to know. It just means there are many different parts involved. And so, as you can imagine, in crystal making, there are many different parts involved. So it's multifaceted. The process is multifaceted. And you have to start all over.
Yeah. That might be a play on words, because a facet, like fine crystal or a diamond, the sides of it, I believe, are called different facets, right? So multifaceted could be used if there are many steps, but I think it also is a word that might be involved with crystal making or diamonds, cutting diamonds.
Good insight there, Hazel. Well, we are moving on now to making an impression. So let's find out about that in our next reading for today.
Making an impression. We were greeted warmly by the staff at the international headquarters in Waterford City, about 2 hours south of Dublin. The sleek new headquarters opened in 2010 and has welcomed more than 250,000 visitors from around the world since. The building has a significant wow factor, including soaring ceilings, a cafe with scrumptious cakes, and a massive and elegant retail store, housing the largest collection of Waterford in the world, from picture frames to water pitchers to well-known Lismore champagne glasses and chandeliers.
All right, we're talking about making an impression, and beautiful crystal certainly does that. It makes an impression. If you have that in your home, visitors may come and be impressed, right, with that crystal. Well, as you're on this tour, we see here that the people were greeted warmly by the staff at the international headquarters in Waterford City. And again, this is south of Dublin, about 2 hours south of Dublin. And then we get a description of the headquarters, Hazel.
Yes, it's sleek and it's new, and it opened in 2010, and it has welcomed more than 250,000 visitors from around the world. So in the last 5 years, that's how many people have come, about 250,000 visitors.
All right, and that word sleek, you get the idea that it's something is smooth and shiny, but also you think of something that is very neat and orderly, and it's new, mm-hmm. so it should be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if they demand high quality when it comes to their crystal, you can think that their building would also be very nice, right?
Yeah.
All right, so that's a description here of the factory where they're making this crystal. They do get lots of visitors, and the building actually has a significant wow factor, and that's a good phrase to know. When something has a wow factor, when you see it, you probably say,
wow,
right?
That's a phrase. This is the first time I've heard that. So it's a little bit like slang, you
mm-hmm.
know, well, it's got a wow factor. People
right.
would know what you meant. Because it makes sense, but it's kind of a new phrase that's coming along.
Yeah, it's very informal.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. All right, so it has that wow factor. And it has soaring ceilings. And when you hear that word soaring, I think of an eagle. What does the word soaring mean, Stephanie?
Well, in the case of eagle, when the eagle soars, it's flying
mm-hmm.
there. But
very high,
yeah,
right?
Very high up. So in this case here, soaring ceilings, the ceilings are really high.
That's right. That's all it means. The ceilings go up. They're really tall is what it means. And so they also have a cafe with scrumptious cakes. And I think I would love to spend some time there to eat those scrumptious cakes. Scrumptious just meaning that they're very delicious.
They're very yummy. They taste good. Yeah, they also have massive and elegant retail store. Now, I would spend a lot of my time there because I love window shopping. So
mm-hmm.
it's massive, it's great big, elegant, everything looks so pretty and nice, elaborate, and so that's a retail store. You probably don't get a discount at a retail store. You pay a full price usually.
Yeah.
You know, an outlet store would often mean you get something for a reduced price, but a retail store you would pay the full amount. Okay, so it actually houses the largest collection of Waterford in the world.
All right, and so you can go there to purchase crystal. And then what can you find there? They give us more details about what you can find in the store.
Well, here it says there are picture frames, water pictures, and also the well-known Lesmore champagne glasses and chandeliers. That's a lot of that's really nice stuff.
Yes, and so here at the House of Waterford, you can do lots of different things on your tour there. You can make purchases, you can eat food, and those beautiful chandeliers, you see a picture there at the top mm-hmm. of page 44. And some people, of course, have these in their homes, these beautiful chandeliers. And, you know, there's a wide range of prices when it comes to chandeliers, but mm-hmm. I'm sure these are very expensive, but they are very beautiful.
Yeah, so you can actually find small things there as well. That's why I mentioned picture frames to the big things, the chandeliers. So whatever if you're looking for something for your house, for your living room, then you could maybe buy a chandelier.
For your mansion.
Oh, yes, for your mansion, yeah.
Yes, you usually have to have a pretty big home to buy a big chandelier like that, but they have smaller ones as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's a bit about making an impression, but what about the history of the House of Waterford? We'll learn about that in our last reading for today.
Waterford's history. The magic started in 1783 when George and William Penrose, established the first manufacturing plant to produce flint glass in Waterford, Ireland. They flourished for decades, but in 1825, a new duty on glass placed a heavy burden on the company. The factory held on until 1851, when it ceased production and many of its artisans headed to Belfast. After World War II, master blowers and cutters from Europe arrived in Waterford to train Irish apprentices. With superior furnaces, Waterford was reborn, continuing to dazzle in bigger ways. Today, the factory creates more than 45,000 beautiful pieces annually.
Okay, so now we're taking a look at the history of Waterford, the House of Waterford, and we start off with the magic. Actually, it started in 1783, so a long time ago. It has a long history. And we learn about two people here, George and William Penrose, and they established the first manufacturing plant. And what were they producing, Hazel?
They were producing flint glass, and that's a heavy glass that is known for its brilliance and the ability to cause light to appear to bend.
All right, and they flourished for decades, and if something flourishes, it grows, and we use that term with businesses or startups sometimes. They're just beginning, and then they flourish. They grow a lot. So they flourished for decades, but what happened in 1825, Stephanie?
In 1825, there was a new duty on glass, and what they mean with new duty is that there was tax. They had to pay the government.
Okay, so they had this tax on the glass, and placed a big burden on the company. As you can imagine, if companies sometimes have to pay a lot of taxes, you know, and they're not having enough income, that can put a big burden on them. So the factory was able to make it until 1851. They held on, but after that, what happened, Hazel?
Well, it ceased production, and many of its artisans headed to Belfast. So I guess it had to close down or at least cease production of many things, and a lot of the craftsmen headed to Belfast.
All right. But after World War II, things began to change, right, Stephanie?
Yeah, the master blowers and cutters from Europe, all over Europe, they arrived in Waterford to train Irish apprentices.
All right, and that word apprentice, we've seen that from time to time, but it's, of course, the idea of a person going and learning a trade. They're not maybe working there full-time, or they're not full professionals yet, but they are learning the trade. And so this is what happened after World War II. And then we see that there were superior furnaces. With superior furnaces, Waterford was reborn. And what exactly is a furnace, Hazel?
A furnace is something that has a flame in it. It gets very hot. And so when you're working with glass or crystal, you have to heat it up so that you can bend it and shape it. And so they had better furnaces than other places. And so because of the superior furnaces, they were reborn. They were able to continue making crystal.
And they were continuing to dazzle in bigger ways. Now, we saw that word dazzling at the beginning of the article. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a dazzling treat. It's used there as an adjective, but here it's used as a verb. They're continuing to dazzle in bigger ways. They're continuing to impress people with what they have there in Waterford. What about today, Stephanie?
Today, the factory creates more than 45,000 beautiful pieces annually.
Okay, so every year, more than 45,000 pieces. So they're pretty busy, Hazel.
Yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
And as I was doing some research online, I found out that they actually make some trophies as well. For example, they make the Irish Open Trophy. That is for the PGA European Tour. So if you're familiar with golf, you know that term PGA. And so that's, I believe, stands for the Professional Golf Association. And so they make a trophy for that, and they also make other trophies as well. And I found that to be very interesting. They're beautiful, that beautiful crystal.
Yes.
Imagine winning that as a trophy. Of course, that's one worth showing off.
Yes.
And so they make many other things as well. And there's an intense process involved, and we're going to talk more about the process tomorrow on day two of our art article. And just before we go today, just wanted to get some closing thoughts from our panelists. And Hazel, would you be interested in actually going to visit the House of Waterford?
Well, sure. Let's get some tickets and go.
All right. What interests you the most about today's discussion?
I think it will be interesting to find out more about the process. And, of course, we'll learn more about that tomorrow. But like I say, I like window shopping. I think it would be great to see all those different pieces of crystal.
Okay.
What a big variety.
Yeah. All right. And Stephanie, how about you? Based on today's discussion, what really sticks out to you?
Well, I also really like window shopping, so I really want to go into their retail store and check out what they have.
All right. And there are many things to buy, and you can either even stop by their cafe to get something to eat.
That's where we'll find you, right?
That's right. That's where you will find me. I'm going to check out the cake first. Maybe they have some delicious food.
It's scrumptious.
It's scrumptious. Yeah. That's right. Well, listeners, we thank you for joining us today, and we hope that you will come back tomorrow for day two of this month's art article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Hazel,
Stephanie,
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.